that very speedy in between presentations. Okay, Steve.
Thank you very much, but to be very honest with you, I get better response from roadkill. So do you think you can do that again, but this time with a little bit of life and vivacity? Well, after that applause, I think I will do my version of Nessun Dorma for all of you. It's a pleasure for me to be here. I have been visiting your GATT groups, as you probably noticed, all week long, and I can sincerely say that I'm extraordinarily impressed by the work that you've done, the discussions that you have had, and especially by the kinds of questions that you asked of the people who came to speak here. So a huge kudo to all of you for being on top of things, for having your brains where they belong, and for having the courage to ask the questions that you did. So for what it's worth, I am impressed. Here are the ground rules. Each GATT group has 15 minutes to make the presentation. Ross, who is going to be sitting there, will give you a 2-minute notice as you're reaching the end by raising his hand. And then when you're finished, he's going to give you the time signal. And at that point, you stop. Because if you don't, we have a whole bunch of burly security people at the back who will take you to a place that you don't want to go. Okay? And secondly, so that you can be sufficiently nervous, we will go in order of GATT group, beginning with GATT group number one. So, 15 minutes, and if I can give you just one tiny, tiny, tiny piece of advice at the very beginning, the tendency for a lot of people who are nervous speaking in front of a large group is to speak quickly because they figure the sooner it's over, the sooner I'm out of here, the sooner this pain will end. From your point of view, that may be wonderful. From the auditor's point of view, it is like having your teeth pulled without Novocaine. So take your time, just slow down a little bit so that you can clearly present what you want to present. You'll have enough time. Are we good? So without any further ado, it's a delight for me to present GATT group number one. Matt Kramer was the leader of that group. Take it away, number one. Let's hear it for him.
They have 5 minutes before they're starting to record, and they want to record.
Okay, before you start, we shift gears all the time in this conference, don't we? They're recording all of this, but the recording is only set to start in 5 minutes. So we have to talk amongst ourselves for 5 minutes. What I'd like for you to do, though, when we do start for each group, when you start your presentation, introduce yourself and tell us where you're from so that we all know who you are and where you're from, okay? We got a couple minutes, yeah.
Okay. Hello? Are we all happy? Are we all happy?
Of course.
This is what I love to hear. So we have 5 minutes to kill. I'm really not good at killing time. I prefer to do other things with it. But why don't I ask you some questions since we're here and we're having a good time. Would anybody like to share with the group what you found to be the most wow moment that you had at the conference since Sunday? Speak loud and speak proud.
Thank you.
Isn't it wonderful to be with a group of like-minded individuals who are not embarrassed to be IB students and who enjoy one another's company and who actually, they feel your pain? I bet you, sport, I think you were probably up till 3 in the morning talking fractals. I know you're kind of guy. Any other wow moments? Yes. Louder, stand up. Stand up, speak proud. So, what I want to know, is there anything you're not telling me? More importantly, is there anything you're not telling your chaperones? Okay. I don't want my career to come to an end over a cheesy joke. Any other wow moments? There has to be at least 200 of them. Absolutely. Shh. So I think we have a new acronym, right? UKK, that's for UK kids? Yeah, okay, so we're going to say goodbye to the UKKs. Yes. Now, you got to stand up and loud. The rest of you have to... Is this the first time your mother let you out of the house? You haven't been out of Iowa. I don't know that. Are you a musician? What musical instrument do you play? I'm sorry? You play the piano really well? Really well? Okay. So you play, who else plays a musical instrument? Okay, so after the presentations and before the dance, we're going to have a pickup group. Does anybody here remember the Beatles? Oh no, you weren't born yet. Do you like the Beatles? When I was young, I preferred roaches, but that's a whole other story. So tell me, who else has a wow moment to share? Yes.
Okay.
Shh. Where are you from? You're from Portland, Oregon. So tell me, is it Portland, Oregon, or is it Portland, Oregon? So Portland, Oregon? Oregon? Okay. So what's the one thing you've learned about Canadians since you've been here? A? Yeah. A? We're a very polite people, especially when we look you right in the eye before we pull the trigger and say, I'm sorry. Okay, there was somebody back here who, yes, stand up.
Okay, I'm someone who comes from the Colorado, Carolina. And I don't know the word in the middle of nowhere. So,
Yes. And what country are you from? You're from the USA? Okay. Did anybody coming here have any stereotypes about the US of A and that those were smashed down? Raise your hands. Did anybody come here from the USA to have your stereotypes knocked down of the USA? Yes? Okay. You here in the front with the turquoise top, you wanted to say something? Shh. Where do you live?
Georgia. All the Ivy kids are always reading books and like never do anything. So I was like, oh great, I'm just going to stay in my room, never talk to anybody. And I'm like losing my voice because I talk to so many people. So yeah, Lori can't hear me. But I've been talking to like so many people and stuff. So I just want to like say thank you, guys. You guys are awesome.
I'm waiting. It's time? Well, why didn't anybody tell me? Nobody tells me a damn thing. Okay, it's time now to go. You know, my mother didn't even tell me when I was born, so I had to find out the hard way by going to school. So here we go, GAT group number one.
Hello, everyone. So my name is Jessica Martin, and I'm from the United States, and so I'm just going to give a slight introduction to what we have done all week. So this week, we have had the pleasure of hearing from leaders, thinkers, and doers in the field of human rights. What stood out in particular was the theory of human rights increasing our chances of obtaining happiness. Sticking with the concept of no human right being more important than another, we wanted to address multiple human rights through direct interaction with the people in the regions we live in. Raising money and donating it to a cause is great, but we wanted to see and interact with the people whose lives will be affecting. We decided to focus on practical education that isn't taught in schools, such as first aid and self-defense. Direct interaction is key to locate an issue in the field of human rights in our areas and solve them through education. Because we are a diverse group, the issues in one area are different than those in another. The skills and information we will be implementing will be sustainable so that people can use the skills to solve their problems now and in the future once our work has finished. So now I will be passing the microphone off to Katrina, our representative for North America.
Thank you. Okay. Hey everyone. My name is Katrina and I'm from Canada. So in North America, there's a blatant lack of first aid education in the formal education system. The only people educated in basic first aid are those who are the educated upper middle class who can pay for the necessary courses. So this is a barrier for the human rights of equality and education for all. To fix this problem and make our community safer and limit the amount of unnecessary visits to the ER that could be treated with basic first aid, we will be contacting first aid educated professionals such as lifeguards, teachers, medics, and doctors, and ask them if they would be interested in giving free first aid tips and courses to the general public, specifically those of the lower class, whom these skills would normally have been inaccessible otherwise. The overall objective is to inform people in our communities about how to treat injuries and provide first aid, such as CPR, basic first aid contents in a first aid kit, how to use and treat people with an AED, and teach them to help themselves and to help each other. So that's our overall goal for one of our goals for North America. And now I'll be passing the mic over to South America.
Well, hey guys, I'm Pedro and I'm from Colombia. And the project we designed for Colombia or South America in general is very similar to what they designed for the for North America. And it is, we'll try to educate people living in poor conditions on basic health education. Like, we'll try to do this because there's a lot of people in Colombia, or in South America, sorry, who live in poor conditions, and they're not able to afford a good medical service or good medical health care. So that's why a lot of people are dying because of that reason. And their right to have a life or to live is being violated, therefore. So we want to prevent that, prevent people from dying from issues that could be easily treated. So we'll try to do this in the municipalities outside of our city, which is Medellin, because there's a lot of people living in poor conditions there. And what we're trying to do, it will be like teaching them how to do CPR or teaching them what drugs to take in case of common diseases and that kind of stuff. But first, we'll have to educate ourselves on the topic before. So we'll ask specialists or doctors from our city to teach us first so that we can go to these cities or towns near Medellin and teach the information to other people. We'll also invite the people from our community to volunteer for this cause so they can also get the information from doctors and give it to the other people. What we are trying to achieve at the end of this project is at least to have one person in each poor family to be able to treat this kind of diseases or to be able to react in an emergency case. And that way we'll be able to save more lives. Thank you. Now I'll pass the microphone to our representatives from Asia.
So hi, I'm Aristo Kong from Hong Kong. So as we all know, Asia is generally a rather conservative continent. So within Asia, the LGBT community has faced a lot of hardship when it comes to its social acceptance. So our group therefore aims to promote the rights promote the rights of LGBT groups and communities. So LGBT groups and communities do not enjoy all the rights that all normal people enjoy in Asia. As as the first one is, of course, in the legal system, where they don't enjoy equality in the legal system and aren't treated just like everyone else when it comes to law and justice. And the second, which faced the most debate in different regions in Asia, is of course the marriage. A lot of countries don't permit same-sex marriage, and thus this right is also not entitled to LGBT groups and populations. So last but not least is communities. Some countries even take extreme measures to stop these groups from organizing themselves and protect them from communicating from each other and forming groups to protect their own rights. So to solve this problem, we plan to educate the general public on various topics related to the LGBT groups. So increasing the social acceptance of them. So we hope to see an improvement in the social situations of these groups and eventually leading to the legalization of the same-sex marriage in various groups in Asia. So now I'm going to pass the mic to Enroy, which is representing Europe.
Hello, everyone. I'm N.
Hey.
Do I really have to say my name? I think everyone knows it. I'll say it anyway. My name's Enroy, and I'm from the UK representing Europe. Before I start, I'm just going to say I had a speech read out, but I'm just going to do it from here, okay? So bear with me. So the topic I'm going to be focusing on was language and cultural education with immigrants. At the moment in England, there's a lot of immigrants that are migrating into the country, say as Indians and Pakistanis and such, and it's become an issue that they don't have the cultural education, they don't know things, they don't know how things work. They stay in their own clusters of communities and they don't expand to the English culture. And it's something that I've found is quite a hard thing to grasp, that there's not enough diversity actually going on that is what is being said. So some of the things that are being violated within this is obviously the lack of community, as they are keeping separate to their own community around them, and dignity being that, you know, if you're an Indian and you can only speak, you know, Punjabi or something, and you're going into a store and you want to buy some food, you can't buy it because there's someone mocking you or saying, you know, you speak English, and you're like, I don't speak English, you know? It's going to have a hard effect on you. Now, the thing is, the main problem is that when immigrants come over to England, they have a fear. It's a set fear that, you know, if they try and go around with English people, they won't fit in, they will find it hard to learn the language and the culture. Then there's also racism and discrimination, which at the moment, it's still strong in England, and it's something that a lot of immigrants fear, because they, like, every human being, to me, has the right to be accepted. And if they're not being accepted, then why would they want to branch out? So the way that I thought would be best to resolve this was if we had workshops and classes that we teach some basic English and basic lessons on culture, you know, teaching them about our traditions, what we do, food we eat, to help them to warm up to the country. This is just basically to start diversity. And we need diversity because the whole point of us having our cultures is to share it to one another, to be able to grasp another person and to understand them properly. And the way we want to do this is, you know, it's difficult because, you know, if they don't speak the proper languages of English and they don't know how to go from A to B, they're going to find it hard to do things. But we're going to focus on children first, because if we focus on children that say, you know, go to schools and that, they'll join these classes, they'll do these workshops, they will learn, then they will go home, they will tell their parents, and their parents will then go through it as well. And I mean, on a wide scale approach that, you know, we would love to have is just to show the rest of the world that diversity is possible. We can all share our cultures and our ideologies and our languages to each other, so we can understand each other better as people. And that's it for me. Thank you, and we're going to go back to Jessica.
Hi, so I'm just going to do a concluding statement to kind of wrap everything up. So if you would like more information, we have a ton of information and a lot more facts on our website, which you can access. Also, we really appreciate your time, and we thank you, and we really hope that you will get involved with this project and try to incorporate it in your areas. And we thank you for your time and have a nice day.
Thank you. Very well done. Thank you, group number one. Our next group is from Giselle De La Morte. It's GAT group number two. Would you please come on down? Do you need a moment to set up or to use computers or whatever? Okay. So who is going to be the first person to speak from GAT group two? They're all coming? So here you go. Would you like the microphone? I don't know who's going to speak.
Okay. Where's Mira?
She's on the stairs. She's looking for her sign.
Oh, she's right here.
She's right here.
Yeah.
See, where's the paper thing?
She's
on the stairs.
Yeah, it's on the stairs.
Sit on the stairs.
Oh my god. I'm so nervous.
Ya no podemos pasar el micrófono.
Sí, sí, pero parece ser que tiene el opening. I'm gonna say like. Okay.
Are you guys going to change?
No. Should we start?
Hey, well,
why?
Why?
there's no place like because of the bush. Should I start?
Yeah, just stay where you are.
Okay.
Is there room for you?
Yeah. You have to make me space there.
Okay.
Okay.
No pressure.
Hi, I'm Tomas, and I'm going to do a little introduction to our presentation. Our world is divided. Even with media and the internet, countries and people are isolated. People's rights all over the world are suppressed. And we have come here to expose the human rights that have been oppressed. Because unity is a must for change to happen. This is the movement of awareness.
I'm Emma, and I'm from North Carolina. Nearly 1 billion people lack access to the clean water that they need to live healthy lives. Water is a basic human necessity, meaning that no one person deserves water any more or less than another. Despite this, some have an extremely difficult time accessing it. They walk miles to obtain dirty water that often carries harmful diseases, while others can access all the clean water that they want by simply turning a metal knob. I have worked on a project to bring water into developing countries previously, but when I return home, I plan to intensify the work that I have done to hopefully reach more people. I will connect with an organization called Episcopal Relief and Development to plan events and fundraisers that will work to help people get the water that they need to survive.
I'm Alice, and I'm from North Carolina. Right to privacy. Since 2001, the NSA has intercepted millions of American phone calls and emails without reasonable cause. I chose this right because I believe it is a terrible injustice for an innocent civilian to have their privacy invaded by their government without sufficient evidence proving that they are suspicious and going through their communications without any justifiable reason. Everyone has the right to express themselves without any fear that their government is monitoring them. In order to help this, I will work to spread awareness about the issue to family and friends so more people will get involved and work to protect the universal right to privacy.
Okay, hi guys, I'm Leandra. I'm from Georgia, and my voice is a little shaky if you can't tell. And so Jade is going to be speaking for me, but I'm going to read my sign. Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Right to life. Everyone deserves the right to live. Oh my God, just say it.
Everyone deserves a life. Never force anyone to take their own. In May of this year, a freshman boy committed suicide because he was bullied, because he played football, because people couldn't accept him for who he was. After this tragic event, the community in her school finally cooperated. Young and old, IB and on level, all races and all ethnicities. But it shouldn't take a tragedy to spark something like this. We are all responsible for others' lives, and we need to use that power to improve others' lives. You never truly know a person until it's too late.
Yeah, okay.
I'm Jonavi, or JJ, and I'm from Ohio, US. Right to marriage. There are 39,000 child marriages every single day. Shouldn't a girl get to choose when she wants to be married? Old-fashioned thinking and outdated ideals should not deprive a girl of 11, 12, or 13 of her education, her dreams, and her personal liberties. Every young woman has the right to decide when she wants to marry, and no one should be forced into it. Coming from a cultural background where the practice of child marriage is still very much prevalent, I can attest to the fact that this practice not only takes away a young girl's personal right to marriage, but also her aspirations for her future, her goals, her dreams. I hope to raise awareness for this problem and also change the mindset of the people who stand by this practice. I also hope to improve educational opportunities for young girls so that they're never forced into a marriage that they don't want by their family, their community, or their society.
I'm Mira and I'm from England. The right to expression. In Sudan, dozens of human rights defenders were arrested and tortured by national intelligence and security forces. I chose the right to expression because I think it's important that people are able to express their thoughts and feelings, no matter who they are or where they're from. When I go home, I want to share everything I've learned from the conference with students and teachers at my school and identify a cause related to human rights we all feel passionate about and organise fundraising events and also hopefully encourage more people to get involved in our movement of awareness.
I'm Miyu from Japan.
I'm Harrison from US, New Jersey. And the right to equality. People are still being sold in the black market and forced to work.
We chose to talk about this right because recently we learned through media that some women are being sold to another country and are forced to work. These women were rescued by police from that country, but we're sure that there are more people who's waiting for help.
We feel as if everyone is equal and everybody has the right to live a fulfilling and content life, regardless of ethnicity or socioeconomic status. One person should not be subject to mistreatment and misery for the suffering and for the superficial and selfish purpose of others. Families are broken and childhoods are lost due to slavery.
Hi, so my name's Arwen and I'm from Canada.
And my name is Farid, I'm from Indonesia. And this is the right to education. In El Salvador, over 35% of the children actually have to work, and therefore they cannot go to school. In my own hometown, at every crossroad, there are at least two or three children who are, well, begging or selling stuff, which range from newspapers to toys.
We chose this right because we know that all of us here today are so fortunate to be granted such a great education, and I'm sure all of us love and are really appreciative of the schools that we get to. And it's shocking to hear that there's a lot of children out there that don't have this same opportunity that we're all born into. And we want to go home, and both of us want to create some awareness about the fact that it's just not a reality for so many children across the globe, and we want to start trying to give children at least a fraction of the opportunity that we're given.
Finally, my name is Hussein, but everybody calls me Lancer. It's fine with me. I chose the right to information, and my poster says you cannot hide the truth from us, because every day governments from across the world commit crimes and they hide it from their own people by the use of media or other various news networks. The reason this is happening because what you see on CNN or Fox is what you believe. Not a lot of people take the time to go on the internet and search deeper into the subject. So when you let other people think for you and come to the conclusion for you, you willingly give up your right to information, because all of us are entitled to know what's going on in the world. It's not something that anybody can hide from us. But when you accept when someone tells you without looking into it, you give up that right. So how can we all help? Next time you see something, before you just believe it, look into it.
Okay, hi, he's Thomas, she's Sofia, and I am Camilo, and we are Colombians.
Right to equality. Just because we are Colombians doesn't mean that we are drug dealers.
We chose this topic to break stereotypes. We chose it because with this we can show everyone that change is possible. We want to show that our past does not define who we are today. That we're a new generation of Colombians that want to change the world. That we're like you. We want to be citizens of the world. We are equal to you, and we're here because we want to present a new definition of Colombia.
I'm Fabienne, I'm from California. I chose the right to work because in the US, a woman still makes 77 cents for every man, for every dollar a man makes. Okay, let's try that again. I chose the right to work because in the US, a woman still makes 77 cents for every dollar a man makes. Why should my time be worth less? I chose the right to work because in most countries there's still a large wage gap between genders, and as a woman in general, but more specifically, a woman planning on entering into a male-dominated field, I will be faced with earning less money than because of my gender. A large contributing factor to this problem is simply a lack of awareness of the many problems that women face in professional life. At home, I'll try to break the stigma of women pointing out a problematic system.
I'm Liam, I'm from California, and I chose the right to equality. Being gay doesn't define who I am. Thank you. I chose this topic because as a teen gay, I feel like it's important to raise awareness to this topic. Yes, I'm gay, but I'm more than that. I'm 16, I'm from California, I'm a full IB student. There are many other facts about me that can define who I am, but just because I'm one thing doesn't mean that is all I am. Coming here has opened my eyes to the viewpoints of the people around me, and I'm happy to say I've had a great experience. When I go home, I plan on working on in my school and in my community to help raise awareness for this topic of equality. All my amazing new friends who I've gotten to know here have really shown me that equality is evident in my life, and I hope that one day the right to equality can be completely upheld and realized by all of society. Thank you.
I'm Mary, I'm from Vancouver, Canada. How I express my sexuality doesn't correlate to my worth. It happens far too often to myself, my friends, and even on a larger scale in various communities, where people's personal or private lives get thrust under a microscope for everyone else to scrutinize. In turn, people get labels slapped on them, such as slut, whore, prude, nun, gay, or queer. And in many cases, these labels become a permanent part of how they're perceived. And in some extreme circumstances, these labels become their entire public identity. And we view them as one-dimensional individuals, or forget about the fact that beneath these labels live human beings. I can assist in my own community by stepping up when people throw these labels around without realizing their impact.
Hi, I'm Marina from China. In some countries, their citizens don't have to access to the website like Facebook, YouTube, and so on. But we want to say, everyone has the freedom to have access to the internet and to have the right to be informed.
I'm Daniel, as a Chinese. I often hear criticism about the action taken by the government on human rights, especially on expression. I don't deny this, but we are changing. The government revised the rules on internet. We are free to talk on internet now. Sharing ideas and expression emotions are instinctive, also a need for human being. Communication can enrich our lives. So we have to be free when we are expressing our opinion. This is our rights. This is human rights.
So as a group, we collectively decided to create Movement of Awareness. And so each of us come from very different cultural backgrounds, and therefore we have very different perspectives. And we're all very differently passionate about different human rights. So as members of a global community, we all recognize the importance of teamwork and global collaboration. And unity, for us, is the key ingredient for change to succeed. And we believe that this starts with awareness. To further our movement and continue to work as a team, we plan to create a webpage to allow other people to share in MOA, which is Movement of Awareness, and we want them to become aware of human rights violations across the globe, and we hope to encourage others to share their own stories. We must stop thinking as individuals and begin to work as a global team to tackle these huge problems. We hope that MOA inspires everyone to educate themselves and begin to take action.
Impossible, but together.
Change is possible. Thank you very, very much. To help keep things moving along, I will keep my comments to a minimum. So I'm delighted now to introduce GATT Group Number 3, the GATT Group Leader, David Ruff. Would GATT Group Number 3 please come up? You can do, yeah, I'm going to bring you down and then you can introduce your group.
I mean, like, say GATT 6, is that okay?
Sure.
Because it's our, like, cue. We have
sure,
cool.
Sure.
We can just say it.
Okay, that's fine. Where's GATT Group Number 3? Let's do this, guys.
Just one moment.
It was a real problem.
Sorry, I'm a little nervous, but I gotta say, you guys look really great in your underwear that I'm picturing you in right now. So, first things first, I wanted to talk about how we actually came up with our project. Oh, yeah, I gotta introduce myself first. I'm Tenor from New Jersey in the USA, where absolutely nothing interesting happens ever. A big problem in New Jersey, especially right in the south in Bridgeton, is there's a huge human trafficking problem where a lot of Mexicans try to leave Mexico and come to the United States and work for less than minimum wage for farmers who give them asylum there. And a lot of times the conditions are poor, and in order to keep the workers entertained and happy and quiet, they bring in women and force them to work as sex workers. So when I first thought about a project that I would have liked to do, I thought about that, but that's actually not the project we're covering. See, we ran into a lot of problems where we couldn't find specific stories and examples about those kinds of things, and we already knew that this issue was one that was being tackled a lot, just because I'm right around that area. So what we did was, since we couldn't cover that specific type of trafficking, we thought about other types. So we thought about, like, the trafficking of children, which includes, like, unfair child labor or, you know, child marriages or child soldiers. We also came up with other sex workers besides the ones that come to the United States.
And then finally, we came up with drug trafficking. Now, I know what you're thinking. Drugs aren't humans, so why are you talking about that? But I'm actually referring to people who are forced to work as drug mules, whether it's because of the intimidation of drug empires in their area, or because they're poor, or because they're just desperate to get out of their situation, whatever it may be. So that's the project that we decided to tackle, just because it's one that's not really thought about as much when you think of trafficking and you think of humans. So we thought that that would be extremely interesting to research and talk about to you today.
So during Carlene McGinty's presentation, when she was here on behalf of UNICEF, she spoke briefly about child trafficking, and that was what helped spark our idea. From there, we brainstormed and listed all of the different types of human trafficking, and then we were able to narrow it down specifically to the concept of forced drug trafficking. We selected this type of trafficking because it lacks worldwide awareness, and before this, when we were talking about it in our GAT group, very few people had any type of knowledge about it, so that's why we thought it would be so interesting. And many people's human rights are violated by this every day because so many people are forced into doing this. So through the workshops we were given the opportunity to attend on Thursday, our GAT group was able to pull out numerous skills that we learned. So between doing communication and leadership and learning how to write things, we were able to make our presentation as best as it could possibly be. So, and we'd also like to thank the rest of our GAT group, because without total participation, this project would have never had the success that it is going to have, hopefully.
Our collaborative process mostly consisted of discussions and sharing of opinions. The beginning of our collaborative process was significantly dedicated to choosing the topic of our project. This allowed us to discover the shared passion we had for a cause in need of recognition and to have a clear vision of the aims of our group. After choosing the topic forced drug trafficking, we took some time to research and educate ourselves about this issue to make sure that we would be able to come up with effective ways to raise awareness. Our lively discussions led us to the development of our project concept. Then our groups assigned roles to every member of GAT Group 3. Splitting in groups increased the efficiency in which we were working with. All of us were filled with energy and willingness to contribute. And I'm proud to say that overall, our GAT Group members worked together with passion, focus, efficiency, and unity.
Okay, so we created a Twitter and Instagram page to help spread our message to friends, families, and other schools. And so on Twitter, we'll tweet facts about drug trafficking to help make people more aware of how forced drug trafficking is a violation of human rights. On Instagram, we'll post pictures of forced drug trafficking, drug mules, and pictures from our website, and if we end up having any events, those pictures too. And on our IB page, we're going to post stories of people who were either drug mules or were involved in drug trafficking to help spread awareness on it. And we believe that these stories will help our readers connect with the cause and hopefully make them more likely to share and support our effort. And so we wanted to ask you guys to follow our pages on Twitter and Instagram on your phone. So, yeah. Yeah.
Everyone take out your phones.
Yeah. And so our, both of our username on Instagram and Twitter is X, it's up there, X_trafficking. And then our hashtag for both is stop working like a mule. So you can tweet that if you want. And yeah, so Tanner's going to show you the rest of the
page. All right, so like I said before, we had a lot of technical difficulties. But I can still show you the page, even though I'm not even sure if it's published or not yet. But it will be fixed. So, I mean, there's a little bit about the background. I'm not going to read it because you're IB students, and I hope you all can read. So I'll leave that up there for a little bit so you can get that. And then we've got our mission and objective, and then some of the activities. And then we'll go through our team members and roles, because we do owe a lot to our cooperative GAT members. So I'd like to have GAT 3 stand up. Everybody in GAT 3, stand up for me, please.
So when we were going through this whole process, we had a bunch of different like task forces, you know, branch out and cover different things. So we had Dylan, he came up with the activities. Emily B, because I think we have, do we have two Emilys, right? Yeah. Oops, sorry, Emilys. Emily came up with the logo concept, and she actually ended up doing the final drawing of the logo. Kevin edited some sections of the website, and he wrote the guideline section. He was a team leader, and he was extremely helpful. Thank you, Kevin. Valentina created the rough draft of the activity section and did research and background information on cocaine. Hope researched on cases of forced drug trafficking. Oh, geez, a hard name. Zizhen, I hope I didn't butcher that too bad, but found out some facts and stories about heroin in the world. Kenny found stories about drug trafficking. I'm Tanner, and I was the website administrator, and I assisted in development of the actual project itself. Thank you. Asterix worked on slogans and titles. Junie assisted in the development of our project and a lot of different parts, like the project rules, the evaluation, and she's assisting in the presentation right now. Caroline assisted in creating a slogan as well as the development of the project and the welcome statement, which I have to show you later. Catalina assisted in creating the slogan, and she's also really good at sleeping. Oh. Jacob assisted with creating the slogan and name ideas, and he flexes muscles a lot, which kind of bothered me because I don't have them. We have three Emilys. Oh my goodness. Emily M. researched on... I'm not very good with names, I'm sorry. Emily M. researched examples of drug trafficking and wrote a lot of the activities. Emily S. assisted in development of the project concept, welcome statement, and creation of the slogan. Julia S., she worked on the background and assisted in the development of focusing on a specific project idea. She really helped us narrow down the project idea because we were kind of confused. And she is the Twitter account. She created the Twitter account. She's a proofreader. Pablo collaborated and helped come up with a slogan and a name. Julia V, on the your left, assisted in development of the project concept, mission and objective, and assisted in presentation. Tiani, I hope I didn't butcher that one too, found cases of heroin in the news. And Chloe researched on cases of forced drug trafficking too. So I just really wanted to go through that, even though I know you all can read, because I can't thank them enough, because even like we weren't always on agreement of which project we were going to do, so it really helped that everyone was willing to cooperate even if their idea wasn't picked. And so then I've got the project rules and our evaluation and the guidelines that were mentioned when I was listing the people who helped and what they did. So we've got our Twitter page and our Instagram, and it's really important to us that news gets out and news gets spread. So, I mean, the more followers and the more retweets and stuff like that we get is extremely awesome. So, this really doesn't work without people like you who are willing to spread the news and put in a good word for us. So if you do help, I'd like to thank you in the future. Oh yeah, this wouldn't have been possible without David, Mr. Ruff. So yeah, definitely use the hashtag #StopWorkingLikeAMule and check us out on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Our next group is GAT group number 4, Aisha Beck. Would you please come down?
Hello.
I can't what?
Oh, Enri, don't cry. Please don't cry, Enri. So, oh, now they're both crying. Shit. Why did the chicken cross the road? How'd you know that? He was, okay, why did the baby cross the road? He was stapled to the chicken. Wait, yeah, this is Hebrew. If we could all silence our phones at this moment, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. All right, so quickly, just before we get into all this, I'd like to thank... All right, GAC Group 4, please rise. Oh, wow, we're really spread out. All right. Wait. You don't even know what these nice people have done yet. The people who are standing before... Oh, wow. All right. Anyway, every single one of these people standing right now, where is Miss Beck? Where are you, Miss Beck? Stand up. You're a part of this group more than any of us. Actually, give her a hand, round of applause right now. So every single person standing up right now, or just sitting down because I talked for a long time, should be thanked for the great contributions they did during this past week. I know that every single one of them wants to make fun of me for the fact that I fell asleep for like 10 minutes and they were able to take enough pictures to scar me for life. But... I'd like to thank every one of you guys. I know we all would love to thank you for being so helpful, doing all the research, just making me generally feel good, you know? Thank you, guys. You're another round of applause. Asia, thank you for being Geek Squad. All right, now we'll begin.
Okay, so I'm Max, and I'm from Canada, but I live in Kuwait, which is in the Middle East. Basically, we are from incredibly diverse group of people, so with that applies a lot of things. Okay, many different beliefs and many different viewpoints that we brought to this concert, conference, willing to share and be part of the group and just like contribute as much as we can. So we just like to recognize a few of the countries we're from. We have Canada, USA, Mexico, Colombia, Kuwait, China, and Texas. The reason we have Texas is because Connor is from Texas. He realizes it as its own country. Proudly. Yeah, and Ben. I'm not recognizing Asia. So, basically, we have a lot to offer in this conference, and we just want to share what we have and just give a brief introduction to our group. Okay, so the first thing that was really important to our group is like just applying what we learned in general. We learned a lot from the different speakers and the people that and the stories they had to offer. They talked about incredibly... a wide range of things, but one of the things that we realized that like they recognize so many things, and we need to just like find what worked for our group because we were from so many places and we had so many different ideas, and now we have Cameron to talk about that.
Where are you from?
I'm from Kuwait.
Sorry, we forgot the whole introduction. I'm Cameron. I am from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. So we had all these ideas. We actually had way too many ideas. We basically filled up a page of ideas for what we could do as a topic to choose for this project. And after a lot and a lot of constructive yelling at each other, we decided that we would work with the topic of sex trafficking with minors. And one of our researchers, or one of our group members, was able to find this beautiful quote that basically illustrates it. I'm not going to Tanner you guys, I'm just going to read it. Victims of sex trafficking are often lured into enslavement by the promise of a better life, only to find themselves trapped in exploitation. Now, the reason that this quote describes what we're going to be talking about so well is because a lot of the minors who are put into sex trafficking are looking for a better life in the places that they are, and a lot of them are already living in terrible situations or not adequate situations, and it's very important to them that they can move past that, but they end up getting trapped into this vicious cycle of sex trafficking. So the way we conducted our research, one of the reasons we actually already chose this topic was a couple of the students within our group had already had prior knowledge of sex trafficking. Some have actual stories that are very close to home, and just it felt right that we would talk about it. And our researchers found a lot of kind of like stomach churning facts that would make you kind of really want to bring this topic to light. One of those being, annually, McDonald's makes around $32 billion. That's the same amount annually that sex trafficking does. $32 billion. Now think about it. Think if you've been to McDonald's in the past week. I know I have, even though I'm in Montreal, which really doesn't make sense. But think about how much money is generated off of this terrible, terrible crime. This is really jarring, and it really makes me kind of sad to think that this happens in the world. But to further instill why we are here right now, we have Ava, who has a personal home story of why we're doing this topic.
Okay. Hi, guys. Okay. My name's Ava, and I'm from Beaverton, Oregon, or it's just outside of Portland, Oregon. And where I live, when you drive through or walk by, it's a very family-oriented city, and you see little kids running down the street and people having picnics with their family and like swing sets, and like it's a little American dream city, I guess. And where I live, I am 2 blocks away from a strip club, which is actually fairly normal. But this strip club in particular was, like, the owners were arrested for forcing minors to work as sex slaves, I guess. Yeah, they were trafficked. And they were the age of 13 and 15. And one of them actually became pregnant. And I don't know the rest of the story, but that's as far as I know. And it's really difficult to know that I live so close to a place that has forced these little children, like, these children to perform, like, sexual acts that they don't want to be performing. And also, anytime I try to leave my house, I have to pass by the strip club that is still open. And it just every time I see it open and people going in, it like kind of makes my heart hurt a little, because these people did horrible acts that can never give back the innocence to these children, and they are still open. So that's why I brought attention sex trafficking to my group.
All right, so this week it was really, oh sorry, my name is Donald G, and I am from the United States and Iowa. This week we talked a lot, as Max said, we talked about what the speakers had to say, but then we talked about how that applies to sex trafficking and what we can do. So what are we doing right now? What we did was we made a website, and we made a Twitter page. So actually, everybody who has their phones out right now, I just kind of want to see how many people have their phones out right now during the presentation.
Don't take them out of your pockets.
Yeah, no, don't take them out of the pockets. Just how many people have them right now. All right. I know for my group there's probably a lot.
Yeah.
But, okay, now everybody can take them out and do them. I just want to see how many people have them out. Everybody take out your phones. I don't have a phone, so I'll take out my Invisi phone. And thank you.
It's also
and, and hopefully, if you could, if you have a Twitter, please, what's it called? Following?
I don't know, I don't use Twitter.
Okay. Like, go to Twitter and at stamp IB, underscore IB, just to support and help. And so we also made a video that we would like to show you really quickly.
Sex trafficking, to my understanding, is forcibly moving people from one place to another for the purposes of profiting off of their exploitation.
The act of either forcefully or through pressure and manipulation, having someone offer their body in exchange for financial or other compensation, or get them to do it in exchange for offering them protection or false senses of protection or something like that.
The definition of sex trafficking is when someone is taken against their will in order to then be sold into prostitution or something of the like, whether it be a sex worker or just someone of that sort of nature. Probably thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
Probably a million.
Okay. There's a lot of sex trafficking in India, but it could happen all over the world.
Thailand.
India?
How much money is made from sex trafficking? It would be hundreds of millions of dollars.
You're talking about millions?
Hundreds of millions. I'm guessing, but I don't know. I really don't know.
That's fine.
Young girl sort of searching for a job that pays quite a lot, and she's offered a job, and that explains different things, and she ends up in the traffic, like modeling.
Kids that are like under the age of like 12 years old, they don't know what's happening, so they get involved. They don't get involved, they get tricked into it.
All right. Hey, anybody who helped with the video, stand up. Stand up. Yeah. I think you stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning, correct? Okay. Yeah. So, what are we doing? We made the video. We made the Twitter page. But in reality, that's not... I mean, if that only reaches you guys, we've got 200 people who know about it. But those 200 people probably were educated about it before. So, what are we doing? The whole goal is to... Switch. The whole goal is to spread it to as many people as we possibly can. So what we would like for everybody to do is, everybody in our group, hopefully as part of their cast project, is going to go home and make a video themselves about their community, because it happens everywhere in the world. And if you want to, we would like you guys to do the same. You can include shirtless men as well if you want. It's always a good thing. But so anything that you guys can do, like, talk to your community, talk to the people, and that's what we are going to do in our group, and hopefully we can let everybody know, because it's an issue that is not as pressing in the news, because there's a lot of other things that happen in the world, that are happening in the world right now, but it's still an issue for a lot of people all around the world. And Max.
We'd just like to finally thank everyone from the IB for having us here in Montreal today. And I think we speak for our group and a lot of people by saying this. And also another thing that's really important is we have an acronym that we sort of created for ourselves that's on our Twitter page. And it's STAMP. It's a Sex Trafficking Awareness for Minor Project. So that's really important, and if you guys could follow us on Twitter, that would be great. And we'd just like to thank everyone on behalf of the whole IB Conference, and especially our GAT group. Thank you.
Lastly, Ms. Beck, could you come down here, please? Could you please come down here? Please come to the principal's office. GAT 4, everyone down here. We got to have a big group hug for this woman. She gave us a great week. Great hours, even last week. Everyone, GAT 4. Give her a round of applause, everyone.
Thank you.
Would you like to say a few words?
No. Good.
You sure?
I had the best group.
Aww. Well, what about this group hug? This is a group hug. Miss Beck, you're leaving us for this group hug. Ava, turn around. Ava. One of yours? You want to take a picture? Oh, he's going to take a picture. 2 minutes.
Yes.
That's what you wanted?
Yes. Right, so low, off, and high.
So I have to put it on off?
Yeah.
Or like off and then on?
Off and on really fast.
So I go like this and then like this?
Yeah. And then did it fit in? Oh, watch out.
Wait.
You're doing it. Are you guys ready?
Hey, just let y'all know, y'all need to click allow at the top of the screen. Where it says Google Drive is on full screen, you have to click allow. Just let you know.
All right. I'd like to thank the group members from GAT Group number 4. Now, I know it's getting kind of late in the afternoon, and everybody's tired, and everybody's hugging, and everybody is weeping, and everybody's getting ready for the big dance, and you're all thinking about the stress limo. But we do need to reintroduce an element of gravitas. We are talking about human rights and what we are going to do about it. So tonight we'll have lots of opportunity for fun. But at the moment, if we can focus our attention on the more serious side of human rights and what we're going to do about it, and would all the people at the back who are about to break their backs hugging one another resume? See, that's what happened when I taught. Nobody ever listened to me. Okay, so thank you very much. Let's resume our seats and carry on with the presentation. You've listened to others. Now it's time to carry on. Thank you. So this is GAT Group number 5, Megan Lowe.
Everyone has a created life in their hands, almost, if not all the time. Here we communicate and learn. The possibilities are endless. It takes a compilement of millions of people and their lives to create this small piece of technology, to be an active part of our life. Something very little known about phones, laptops, TVs, gaming devices, and hundreds of other products is about to be revealed before your eyes. That will change the way you buy and look at the world in your hands.
Imagine being woken up at 6 a.m. because there's a guy in your room, bedroom, screaming with a machine gun. He's yelling, he's waving his gun in the air. Yet, you're not panicking. Why? Because this is your everyday life. Every day you wake up at 6 a.m. to march through the jungle to a remote mine to work for 14 hours a day. 14 hours of hard, back-breaking work, only to get paid pennies a day. If that. This is your life as an enslaved miner. Every day, people's lives are exploited, just like that, so that a warlord can take these precious minerals, then sell them to electronic companies who use these minerals in your consumer electronics. Consumer electronics such as the ones in your pocket right now. Now try to fathom that right now there are people who are pouring their blood, sweat, and tears into your everyday electronics. As soon as people find out about the atrocities that go into their devices, they will do something about it. But the first step is raising awareness. Welcome to Mining the Truth.
Hello, I'm Ibrahim. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, from the U.S. We came here as a whole individual group to learn about human rights and what we believe in and how we can help solve it. The background of our project is that the reason why we did about chemicals, conflict minerals, I'm kind of nervous. I don't really get nervous like this, but here we are. It's about conflict minerals, and the reason why we chose this is because of one very inspirational speaker. I think we all know him. I don't really know how to pronounce his name right, so I'm going to ask you guys to help me pronounce Michelle's name. Is Michelle Chick He inspired us a lot because he told us a story that connected to us. Like, he didn't just come up here and show us slides, even though everyone else was really amazing. But he just spoke to our group, even though we were arguing whether or not to pick the children's rights and education over conflict minerals. I think there are many people in this world that know about children's education and why they shouldn't be working at a certain age or they should be going to school, but not a lot of people know about conflict minerals. Take for example, stand up if we're gonna ask you guys to stand up real quick. Please stand up. Thank you. Everyone, please stand up. Yeah, everyone. Oh shit. Oh, excuse me. Okay. Sit back down, please. Sit back down. No. Okay. Stand up if you own a phone, laptop, camera, or any electronic. From a company. Yeah, tell them to sit down.
You got it.
Yeah. Hello, I'm Giacomo from New York. Now, you are all going to hate Ibrahim, yeah? And you are going to all sit down again.
Sorry.
And I really apologize. I know. But so what we're trying to do here is we want you guys to stand up. Not yet. Don't worry. Yeah. You guys get a rest. We want you guys to stand up because we're going to read a list of companies. And if you have purchased a product from the companies that we are reading, we want you to stand up and remain standing until we read the whole list.
IBM.
LG.
Samsung.
Sony.
Toshiba.
Lenovo.
Canon.
Nikon.
Sharp.
HTC.
Nintendo.
So those are all the companies that we are from our list. Now I will also read a few products that you may use that that benefits you, like that may you may benefit every day or use or purchase. So please stand up again, and all you still remain standing. But for all those that are still sitting, please stand up if you use these every day. So medical instruments,
food cans,
jewelry,
and sports equipment.
Okay, so now I want all you guys to look around and see all the people who are standing up. I think it's almost every single one in this room. All of the companies that we have read and all of the products that we have read all use conflict minerals. Everyone here is affected by this problem. And that's why Mining the Truth is trying to spread awareness about the existence on conflict minerals around the world. Conflict minerals are resources taken from areas with violence and are resources taken and armed conflicts and without proper payment or legal labor. Workers are forced to work in horrible conditions in order for companies to buy cheap resources. People need to be aware of this growing problem. We do not want to shut companies down, but we want to change their practices and policies. Mining the Truth is trying to reach out to both consumers and producers in order to make them aware of these conflict minerals such as coltan, copper, cassiterite, wolframite, and gold. Also, our wow! I wanted you guys to get an exercise. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Mining the Truth's ultimate outcomes is that we want to raise a widespread awareness about conflict minerals and influence change in the policies and practices of many companies that use these inhumane resources. We also would like, if possible, to influence countries' government policies to either reduce the mining of the minerals or restricting the purchase of these minerals for those companies. Thank you.
My name is Gabrielle. I'm Canadian and I currently live in Finland. So be honest, and well, I'm not making you stand up, but raise your hand if before this conference you knew about conflict minerals. So you all of you knew before this conference. So look around, it's not the whole majority. So that's why we decided to do it our CAST project on conflict minerals. I have to stand on my tippy toes, sorry. So first of all, we had two like big ideas. It was child labor and education and conflict minerals. So we had kind of a bit of a heated debate on both, and we kind of saw the opinions of each other on either subject. And so we decided to have conflict minerals. And I think for all of us, Michelle Chikwanine's speech really spoke to us. Ultimately, by having conflict minerals as a CAS project, it will go and help children who are in the mines, who are minors, and help them with their education since we hope that they will go to school. So our opinion for child labor, I'll briefly talk about it. We thought it was important because it touched our age group, but for some reason conflict minerals weren't spoken enough of, so that's why we chose it. So we really got to know conflict minerals and how everything worked. So after choosing it and voting, we started brainstorming on ideas for our actual project, and we decided to do an awareness campaign. And we also decided our target audience and so on. And that's how our project grew. And that is about it for me.
Hi, I'm Courtney and I'm from Detroit. And for the future of our project, our GAT group created a Facebook group for us to communicate. And we got everyone's emails, and we're planning to create an International Conflict Minerals Awareness Day. So at each of our schools, we're going to plan one day where around the world we all wear a color. And on that day, we'd talk about conflict minerals, we'd share our website, and get the news out. And the majority of us want to continue to do that. So, yeah.
So, next time you answer your phone, listen into it, deep into it. I want you to make it like it's a conch shell, and see if you can hear the screams from the enslaved miners.
Sorry. So we would like to thank the organizing team, the IBWSC Planning Committee, the McGill Volunteers, the IBO, and our amazing GAT leader, Ms. Lowe, and our GAT group, our respective chaperones, for giving us the opportunity to develop our CAS project and accompany us during this week. On behalf of the Miners for Truth, this has truly been an amazing and memorable year. Au nom des mineurs pour la vérité, merci pour cette semaine superbe et mémorable. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just before we proceed, I would ask all of you to please remain in the auditorium, unless you really have to go to the loo. People have been listening to other people's presentations, and it's only fair and polite for you, once you've done yours, to remain in the room so that you can hear other people's. So I would please ask you to stay. And rather than introducing the next group, I've been asked if they could do it themselves. So here you are.
How are you guys? Good? Good. I'm so glad. So, sorry, I'm like simultaneously trying to find an audio jack. I think this is it. That kind of gave away a little bit of what we're doing. What's our group number? I like to remain mysterious sometimes as I hook in controls. This looks like it goes there. Yeah. Oh no, it's going to give it away. Well, without further ado, here is group 6. Hold on, I'm trying to turn it up. Dang it, I messed it up, y'all. Okay, erase that second from your memory. Did I plug this in right? The other one? All right, we're doing the other one. Maybe, do I have to turn it up here, maybe? Okay, it's up, y'all. Hopefully it won't blow out your eardrums. Come on, Pharrell. Oh, that was not the right plug either. Okay.
Do you have your
phone? Yeah, I do. See, that's the right one.
Where's your phone?
I blame Santos. All right, group six. Yeah, woo! Come on down. Come on down, y'all. We planned this in like 2 seconds. Come down. Y'all can hear it. Y'all know it. Sing along. And Santos. Santos has to come down too. Okay, I'm going to pause it so I don't get kicked out of IB. So, ooh, don't ruin it, me. Well, here we go. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce everyone while that picture of Santos is up there. So my name is Rebecca Ferrari. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm a queer LGBT activist. I want to make that part of my introduction because it's a very important part of who I am. And this is group six.
Hi, I'm Lily. I'm from New Zealand.
Dejan from Seattle.
I'm Jonah. I'm from Wicked Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
I'm Brittany. I'm from California.
Come on. I'm Brittany. I'm from California.
I'm Adam from New Jersey.
I'm Hannah. I'm from Ontario.
Julia from Texas.
I'm Lindsay from Colorado.
Raphael from Florida.
Jason from British Columbia. Nathan from Portland.
Lucas from Portland.
Maria from Colombia.
Cynthia from Taiwan.
I'm Dola from China.
I'm Catherine from China.
I'm Hannah from New York.
Yeah. I'm Caroline from North Carolina.
Yeah. I'm Santos from New Mexico, and I don't know why that picture's up there.
All right, so y'all can go sit down unless you know your duties. So let me get this little sucker started. There we are. So there's the unzoomed photo of our lovely leader, Santos, who I actually don't know his last name, so I'm glad I didn't have to say it yet. So this is Santos, and during one of our meetings, we were discussing what we were going to do this on. And, you know, one of our groups brought up this idea, which is to help children in art education. And Santos, with a ruthless leader he is, stopped the presentation and was like, I have a story about this. And I love stories, so I was listening. And I think we all were listening. And he told us about how he taught in New York at a resource poor? So a school that, you know, was resource poor. And so he was hired to teach language, even though his background was in art. And so he asked if he could teach art there, because there was no art program. And so they said that, yes, you can, Santos, on Saturdays, and you have to teach a test prep course, too. So he did. He accepted it because he saw the need for an art program. But he had to buy his own art supplies, which you might be thinking, I had to buy art supplies, you know, I'm sure he could take it out of a bit of a 401k or something. Art supplies is expensive. And so he had to buy all of that art out of pocket so he could teach children his art. Click on it. So, an inspiration of Santos, we have the Art Exchange Program. Woo! Santos also told us to do that. he told me not to tell y'all that he said to do that, and so I felt like it. I'm not lying about his story. So, we, in our GAT group, Santos split us up into smaller groups to kind of hone in on a CAST project, and we voted on them. But that will be, like, kind of explain more in the process. And, no, go back. I did not point. So what it is we get art supplies donated to us, and we put it in a flat rate box along with a disposable camera. We either send it or deliver it ourselves to a school in need in a local area at the moment. We'll send it to a local area so they can further their art education with supplies, and maybe we'll send them a general theme to make art from. And what they'll do with the disposable camera is they'll take pictures of the art, because, you know, we want them to keep their art and decorate their room with it, and they'll send us back the disposable camera or deliver it, you know, through wherever, car, and we'll look at it, we'll see the photos, and they'll kind of tell us, you know, what they learned, and we can also learn something as a part of a project to see how they use art as a learning process. So our lovely logo here was made probably in I don't know how long, I want to say 30 minutes to an hour. It was hand-drawn, handmade by lovely Jonah right there. A little applause. So that's probably better hands than I can draw in about 5 days. So that's an awesome logo. So without further ado, here is our purpose.
The purpose of our project is to give art supplies to schools who otherwise wouldn't get them. And also through the gallery that Rebecca was talking about, it would bring an awareness of art to the whole community that it was in. And And the reason why we believe that this needed to be something that happened was because art is a really important part of children's life, and it's a really enriching process to go through. And a statistic from DoSomething.org was that a student is 4 times more likely to be recognized for academic achievement if they were taking art. And we have a quote up here which I thought really exemplified that that thought process. Yeah.
So who will be it? It would be affecting like all grade levels, and it would be like starting out at local schools with like from the members of our GAT group or GAT, I don't know. And then
this project will be funded, because we need funds for the project. It'll be funded through donations from the relevant areas and schools. And also the schools that are willing to join the project will also contribute, or potentially through optional admission fees in the galleries that we were talking about. And the project will be hosted in schools that our organisation approaches, and we recognise them and approach them with our project. Yeah, because like in our Santos story, there might be teachers who are willing to teach art, they just don't have the supplies to do it, and our project enables them to do that.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about the process, which I kind of touched on in my lovely introduction. So what we did is we synthesized the ideas from the presenters and from our, you know, honing the skills groups that we saw yesterday, and we did an interactive model, which we have a video of it, which we'll show in just a second. And what it was, and Santos wanted me to really touch on this, is that it was us taking our ideas and the connections and putting them out visually on the table to see where things connected through the Human Rights Declaration and through our speakers and the key terms that they touched on. So then we developed multiple project ideas in each of our 4 small mini groups that we touched on. And so we voted on one, which was the Art Exchange Program. So go ahead and click it. And so, why did the video not show up? But
Here is an example of kind of the really analysis that we did to help kind of go through this process to see where we would come up. Here's the video. So here's the video. As you can see, there is Lily writing. The twos are actual specific articles of the Declaration that say things like, number one. What's number one? Anyone know off the top of their head? Life, I think. And you can't see, but there's floss that people did to connect from each. You can go ahead and go to that photo. Okay, we'll replay it. I don't know. So there's floss from each of those to show like the connections. We drew on the tables with dry erase markers so we do not get sued. We used our sticky notes and our lovely notebooks that were given to us to further explain our idea so it didn't look like a bunch of lines. And I really, from personal experience, I know it did help me to actually see and not just have it a jumbled mess in my head. So this was our outcome from all of that. We had the four groups. We had Don't Go Unzine, the human rights zine, which was not chosen. We had, obviously, the Art Exchange, and you can see a prototype of the logo right there. It's come very far. We had posters for progress or trans posters, nothing to do with transgendered people. And we had all friends. So if you'll click, Art Exchange Program was chosen, and we can see kind of like a little flashback into the past when it was just a little baby idea. So go ahead and click it. So next we have our connections on the Declaration of Human Rights.
Okay, we narrowed it down to two specific rights in the two specific clauses in the Human Rights Declaration, which were education and expression. And some specific quotes like from the Declaration were, at school we should be able to develop all our talents. It directly connects to giving kids the ability to further their talents in the arts with the materials we will provide. And another quote is, should be taught human rights and how to get on with others, whatever their race, religion, or the country they come from. And our project supports this quote by allowing kids to interact across the world in a more fun and artistic way. Sorry. And then expression, and some of the quotes from that are, we are all free to think what we want, to say what we like, and nobody should forbid us from doing this. We should also be able to share ideas with people from our own or any other country.
Well, the future for this project would be Art Exchange is going to start small in local schools, and it's going to expand in a variety of schools and cities around the world. This program will provide galleries to create awareness and will accept donations if everyone goes to their school and keeps spreading the word. Art Exchange can grow rapidly and successfully.
All right, so we've been told we have 2 minutes, so click. We're going to explain our screenshot here. So this guy doesn't get to do anything. I'm going to have him explain it. So what is this?
All right. This is pretty much a brief summary of our project and everything that we're hoping to do.
Where can the screenshot be seen in real life?
I do not know.
On the actual website. We do know. This is a real website. It was not Photoshop. So this, you can go see it. There's more explanation, you know, it was one of our requirements for this project, and we did it. Also done by the lovely Jonah back there. Another round of applause for Jonah. Yeah! And I just got the T, the timeout. No, the actual time. It's time, right? T, time. He came to my school to tell me about this, so, you know, I feel like we're on a mental connection, you know. He hates me. All right, thank you guys.
Thank you very, very much. The GAT leader. Hello?
I want to hear my heart beat. Thank you. In case you were wondering, the GAT leader for group number 6 was Santos Contreras. And now I'd like to introduce GAT group number 7 with Matthew Reed. Thank you. Oh, okay. So it's actually GAT group number 8 with Charlotte Landreau. It's GAT group number 7 with Charlotte Landreau. I am a confused bunny. I'm going back to the ranch.
Okay, can you call up the website? We had retreated for reasons that I won't talk about. So you start, right?
Yes. This will be just a moment. We're not through. I am a 10-year-old boy from Uganda. I have lived there my whole life.
I'm a 12-year-old Indian girl. I was taken from my village to the city upon the promise that I would be given a better life, a job, education.
I'm 11 years old. I used to live in Honduras before my family had to escape as refugees because the violence grew too much to bear.
One day, a militant group came to my village. They burned down our schools and our houses. They killed my parents and they forced me to come with them.
Instead, I was sold as a domestic slave. I work 14 to 16 hours a day. Sometimes I'm beaten.
In our deportation camp, we have nothing. I can no longer go to school. Every night I go to sleep on a cold, muddy floor because we have no roof over our heads.
The regime that had forced me to kill for them is funded by Western companies that make things like your cell phones. It was as such support, I don't know if this will ever end.
I just want someone to help me go back to my village, back to my family.
I do not think I will ever be able to go to school again. I cannot read, and no one that I know knows how, so I will never learn. Every night that I go to sleep with the hunger pains in my stomach, I almost miss the sound of gunshots.
Unfortunately, these are only some of the victims who've had their rights violated. Our goal was for each member of this group to be able to take this project home and actually act on it, not just to use it as their CAST project. In the beginning of this week, we all separated into groups based on what we wanted our project to be. But when we presented our ideas, we realized that every single person had various perspectives and views. The amazing thing about our group is we incorporated everyone's ideas. Our project, No Rights Left Behind, focuses on three topics: educating children in poverty, ending child soldier wars, and ending child trafficking. There are so many parts to this group because we wanted every single person in this group to be involved. How we decided on our project is we all would discuss and came to a consensus, never having to vote on anything. There are people from all around the world in this group, from Pakistan to China and to Colombia, and we plan to take it back to our schools and implement our project and influence change. We are individuals from all around the world working as one team. And now Adam is going to explain our website.
Hi, I'm Adam. I'm from Lafayette, Colorado. And as you've seen, this is our website. We are focusing on children's rights because we believe that's where a lot of the rights, getting human rights in general to start, we need to start with children. So one of the things we focused on is fighting child trafficking. And we have Zoya here to explain a little bit about that.
Hi, I'm Zoya. I'm from Austin, Texas, and I'll talk about child trafficking. So fortunately, I think based on the fact that somebody else presented trafficking and the fact that we all know about trafficking is a good thing, but not enough people back home know about child trafficking. And the fact is that there have never been more slaves than there are right now. So what our website does with the child trafficking tab is that we define what child trafficking is with the UN's help. We also explain what rights are violated, specifically the right, or especially the right not to be a slave. And then we continue by talking about the statistics and numbers that go behind the crime that is child trafficking. But what's really important about our website is that we cite different ways that we can all help stop child trafficking. So, yeah, there are a lot of them out there. One of my favorites is the fact that you can sign up for a Google alert. So every time that there's an article or a story about child trafficking, you'll get an alert on your phone. And that's really important to maintain, I guess, understanding and like staying up to date with current affairs. Something else that I think is important is that you guys can take this back home to your schools if you want. Like what we're planning on doing is like not only educating people, but say there's a documentary on like child trafficking, and we put up links to that on our website. You could have a watch party at school one day and have everyone in your classroom learn about the issue of child trafficking. But other than that, there's like a whole other bunch of ways that you can help stop child trafficking on your own, so you don't have to sit idly by watching all these atrocities happen.
Another thing that we really wanted to focus on was educating children in poverty. First, actually, we were going to start with conflict minerals. My apologies. One of the big large problem around the world is conflict minerals, like things that go in your cell phones, as we all know, can cause a lot of problems for children in the areas where those are mined. And we have Jillian here to explain a little bit more about that.
Okay, my name is Jillian. I'm from New York. The human rights violation of child soldiers was brought to our attention by Michel Chiquanine. His traumatic and inspiring story had a profound effect on our group, and we really wanted to try to raise awareness for the issue of child soldiers. So to take action, we have links on our website for various charities and organizations that we support. And we have a petition listed that you can sign for that. And and then, additionally, Michel Chiquanine touched briefly on the use of conflict minerals in the child soldiers problem. And basically, the Democratic Republic of the Congo is rich in this natural resource, but the scramble for the economic and regional control of the area has been the driving force for multiple atrocities taking place in the region. So, again, in order to take action for the ban of conflict minerals, we've provided links to the website raisehopeforcongo.org, which allows people to send emails to electronic companies to petition for the end of the use of conflict minerals to hopefully make a difference in the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
All right. One other section, the third section, which for those like me comes after two, was we wanted to work on educating children in poverty. This is a really important thing because a lot of problems with the world come from ignorance and not understanding what's going on. So if we can educate people, we can make our world a better place. And Nimra can explain a little bit more about that.
Hi, I'm Nimra. I'm from Pakistan. And so at the moment, there's about 400 million children who are in extreme poverty. So that's a lot of people. And what happens is that if they grow up in this way, so will their children, and so will their children. And furthermore, it's mostly the developing countries that have more children. So what we thought as an initiative to help this problem is there's this school in Pakistan, it's known as the Girat School, and it's really interesting because the woman actually, in 1999, she found children from the streets, she picked them up, she took them to her garage, and she said, okay, this is enough, I'm going to teach them. And she educated them, and this way she expanded, she started hiring teachers, and now her school, which started in her own garage,
has about 400 students. But the problem is, since it's a very small initiative, it's not very well known. So they want to expand. Children keep coming, children from the streets, children who are barefoot. But there's not enough funds to do so. So what we thought is we'd have hold fundraisers, we'd have like interesting events at our schools back at home, and raise money in order to donate to places like the Girat School in Pakistan. Yeah.
Thank you. To find out a little bit more about how we chose this project and why, Shati is going to explain a little bit more about how we came up with everything.
Okay, I never said. I'm Shati, and I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. Okay, so for administration job, we had four people in our group that are the administrators, and they're basically in charge of the website and controlling all of our social networking sites. So what we're going to have is every month, new two people are going to be in charge of everything. So they're going to take control of the social networking sites, posting any new updates on the issues, and things like that. And so the end result will be, after 10 months, we want to have monitoring and posting of any issues, and just we want to make sure that over 10 months, like, we keep this going. So if I was told to tell people, if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at No Rights Left BHD. So if you can please do that. And yeah, so.
Yeah. Also on that Twitter point, I would like, if you could do that now, that would be fantastic. The more the merrier. It would be very helpful. But to have a couple closing statements. Okay. You know, sometimes people put weird things behind you when you're talking. I don't know. But first, I would like Charlotte to please stand up. Yes. Yes. What? Oh, yeah. Okay. So, keep standing for nothing, yeah? Charlotte is an incredible, wonderful teacher, and she's been very helpful throughout this process. So first, I'd like to give a big hand to her, if you could all help me with that. I'd also like to thank the Montreal staff here. They've been incredibly accommodating and wonderful to work with. So if we could all give them a hand. And I think I'd also like to thank the IBO staff and everyone who helped organize this conference and IB in general, because it's a fantastic and wonderful thing. And with a last little bit of time here, I'd like to just make a couple points. If we can all get together as an international community to work on creating a better world, we can do it very effectively. And if I'd like, okay, everyone look to their left. If we, from all the different countries and places that we come from, can put together our differences, then the world can do that too. So, thank you.
Thank you very, very much. So now, Charlotte, am I right? It is GAT Group 8, and this is Matthew Reed's group. So Matthew, Group 8, would you please come up? Thank you.
Microphone.
Should I pull it out?
Yeah.
Just in case?
Yeah, just in case.
I'm not going to read it, though.
I might read mine.
I'm going to try.
You ready?
That's okay. If I pop, I'll read it. Okay? Deal? Yeah.
I'm Sam. I was in the United States of America, specifically South Carolina. Come on.
Well, you flee.
Oh, I'm from South
Carolina. Actually, nobody's South Carolina. But still.
We're British people.
I'm kidding.
No, we got it.
No, got it. You.
You
just
like
the lead.
You
say
just the
lead. Yeah, we're going to stand up together.
Are we good?
We're so good.
We're so good.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello? Should I talk more? Hello, I'm Sam, and I'm from South Carolina. It's in the United States. And our project is on the rights of orphans. So UNICEF recently released that 143 to 210 million orphans around the world, and this statistic is not including unregistered abandonment and or trafficked children. So this is a big number. If there was a country made of just orphans, it would be 5th to 8th in the world's rankings on most populated countries. Every year, 250,000 children are adopted, but 14.5 million age out of the system, so they don't participate in the orphanages anymore. And by age 18, 60% of these orphans that are girls become prostitutes, and 70% of the guys become criminals, and they become a part of the jail system. Worldwide, there hasn't been much progress, but in the United States, specifically in Chicago, there's been some success. Following World War II, there was more than one half of the orphanages shut down, and replacing the orphans' homes, instead of them living in the orphanages, they now live in residential institutions like boarding schools or group homes.
Hi there. I'm Zoe. I'm from Portland, Oregon. And one of the things that we thought was really important to address when we started talking about this issue was that a lot of people don't really think orphans are a problem anymore. Somehow everybody seems to have this like orphan Annie idea that orphans were something that happened during the Great Depression or in the past. And even if they do think it's a problem, people tend to think it's about happy adoption stories and sweet little kids and like the mean orphanage owner who's like, you can't do that. But actually, even if the orphanages or the foster homes are trying really hard to make things work, or have well-meaning social workers and foster parents, a lot of the issues in orphans' lives are due to mental or emotional issues or a lack of resources. Many human and children's rights are violated in orphanages and foster homes, often not due to the fault of the orphanage at all, sometimes due simply to circumstance. You all probably know the awkward feeling of changing in a locker room for the first time. I don't know if you guys did that in like middle school or in the gym, but it's like the stripping of dignity in front of complete strangers. And a lot of orphans have lives constantly stuck in this state of discomfort. They're surrounded by new strangers often, and just as in locker rooms, they are vulnerable to abuse and often lack responsible or caring adult supervision. This lack of dignity and care, and the feeling of being herded through a necessary system instead of being treated like human beings with fragile emotions and a need for stability just like everyone else, leaves orphans with their rights violated and feeling very alone.
So the mission and objectives of our project were to improve the lives of orphans by guaranteeing them the rights that belong to all human beings. And we wanted to make more government funding to foster, or have more government funding go to foster care organizations and residential institutions to, and also to improve the awareness on orphans' rights.
Hi everyone, I'm Brianna, known to some of you as Peacock. I'm from Reno, Nevada in the U.S. So To get people involved, we want to send letters to local governments and let them know that the public is concerned on this topic and get them to start thinking about legislation that they can discuss to change this and better give orphans better rights. We also want to talk to advocates for orphans' rights and get their help in spreading the word. Once again, government constituents, we would also write letters to them. And then also former orphans, to have them speak about their past experiences and what it's like to have their rights stripped away. Our partners would be the North American Council on Adoptable Children, UNICEF, the Adolescent and Children's Trust, Public Service Advertising, Parents of Adopted Children, and local and national policymakers. And for our budget and resources, we want to do some fundraisers to do some activities to raise awareness and to spread the word about orphans' rights. And we will need some money to get the fundraiser started. And once we begin fundraising, we will have funds to do those activities.
So for the evaluation of our project, we kind of aimed a little big. In case you didn't notice, we're like all orphans everywhere. One of the ways we want to evaluate the topic is the level of attention that it receives from policymakers. So if we're writing letters to government constituents or other local policymakers, we want to see if we're getting responses from them and whether we can raise awareness in the community and start things like lobbying movements or protests in the community. So what level of response we get from the policymakers and the people that are making government things actually happen. We're also looking for non-trivial attention, so same things with the protests and with people really standing up and starting to notice this issue. There is definitely the Declaration on Children's Rights, which is very applicable in this situation, but a lot of people ignore the fact that orphans often don't get to enjoy those rights. So people actually starting to notice that instead of being like, cool, I'll like that Facebook page. People actually being engaged in the issue and wanting to help. And then, of course, money being raised by fundraisers and donated to places like UNICEF and our partners, and also to help us get activity started. And then long-term, if we took it really far, passing of legislation to help orphanages to improve their conditions and to help orphan children have better mental health and emotional health. So we did a variety of things to start raising awareness for this issue. We made a Facebook page. Let's see if it will come up. On the rights of an orphan. And we have our little human rights logo. And we haven't done a lot with it yet, but you can follow this and we will be posting things like statistics on orphans and how you can get involved. So that's kind of fun. And then we did the website, which I think most groups did. And that has more information on our background and about what our mission is and who's involved with the project and who did what. So again, I'm going to Tanner you. I think you all can read. So hopefully, you guys could check that out and read a little more if you're interested. And the last thing we did, which was a major part of our project over this week, was create a video. We ended up doing a poem. And the poem has two messages, the first being the kind of tortured emotion and the loneliness that a lot of orphans experience, and the second one being a plea for help. So you guys can see that in this video. Hopefully the sound is on. That's the plan. I don't think it is. Oh, that would help. Hold on.
It's so easy.
We're gonna go back. It's a little intense.
It's time to end this. To stop this suffering. It's so easy to get hurt every day. They don't deserve to be loved. They deserve to be alone. It's an unfair feeling for anyone but they deserve it. Some people think they don't, that they deserve equal education, dignity, that they need hope. They know they are alone. They don't want to be, but they get put in families. They only get food when necessary. The social workers care for them when there is money to be made. There are things to see and learn and do. There are things to be that they never will. Even though many people tell them they can make it. Tell them that they never will. There are things to be and do and learn. There are things to see. There is money to be made. The social workers care for them when necessary. They only get food when they get put in families. They don't want to be, but they are alone. They know that they need hope, that they deserve equal education, dignity. Some people think they don't, but they deserve it. It's an unfair feeling for anyone to be alone. They deserve to be loved. They don't deserve to get hurt every day. It is so easy to stop this suffering. It's time to end this.
Okay, so as you can see, we did a reverse poem. So it went one way and had one message, and went another way and had the other message.
So this is how we came up with the idea for Orphans' Rights. We divided into four groups, each assigned a topic from our sessions. We brainstormed and we picked the best one based on universality, rights involved, desired outcome, possible projects. We evaluated each idea and again picked the best one. We divided further into different groups, but focused on the same idea, and that's where we got most of our meat of our presentation.
So what to do now is, if you took this back to your school, you would do fundraisers there, whatever works, to get
money to donate to organizations that support orphans' rights, and you can contact the partners that were already mentioned and share the video that we made to raise awareness.
So that is our presentation, and to conclude.
I just wanted to ask that we give a round of applause to Zoe. She wrote the poem, and it was phenomenal. So.
Thank you.
We also want to thank our GAT leader, Matt, who's been incredibly useful and helpful this entire time. So.
Thank you very much. We're coming down to the end, and we might make it just on time. Group number 9, Katie Biella, GAT group number 9.
Do a website that like we've set up. It's not on from this, but yeah.
Can they get it set up before
yeah.
we start?
Yeah. Where is she? Lauren? Do you want to just...
Yours?
Oh. Should I just... We are GAT Group 9, and this is our story.
So, I'll start out by saying this. I'm Batman. Okay, so technically I'm not, but like many, I like to think I am. Unfortunately, I'm aware that it's my own special way of forgetting what surrounds me. It helps me forget my reality and barricade myself from all the extensive talk and the blood, battles, and chaos. I try to remember the wails of the glorious crowds as they flocked to Tahrir Square, just stampeding along in one great unity, reminding the whole world, and most importantly ourselves, that we deserve better, that we are people and are therefore entitled to better. On that day, the 25th of January, we were reminded that people, and only people, are capable of change through unity. That was the kind of enthusiasm shared collectively by all Egyptians that took to the streets after over half a century of oppression. Unfortunately, though, I can't say that it's over. Oppression still goes on in Egypt as this war rages on, and it's taking place on so many levels. But there is a scene I'm sure would revive the human lying within each tyrant or oppressor. I was privileged enough to go to one of Egypt's few international schools. The kids there were pretty rich, but the school, though, is located in an extremely poor and neglected neighborhood. I've been going to that school for about a year, and as we got close, I could see through the windows the tragedy that these needy people had to go through. Children roaming around the streets, begging for food, for clothes, children sleeping in the streets like animals, bare and naked, stripped of their humanity. It was the first time I'd encountered that sector of the population that was forced to live like animals. and actually with animals. Animals like me and you. Animals like us who live in our own bubbles, not helping these people realize their own humanity. So, one day, I saw some shirtless kid in a torn pair of old, relatively oversized trousers, sitting on the side of the road, stretching his legs so that a stray dog could rest his head on the boy's lap. And the days go by, and the boy is still sitting, resting the injured dog's head on his lap. So I get curious, because I used to see the boy and the dog play. So, one time, I get off the bus with an excuse that I'm just buying some water, and walk up to the boy and his dog. That's when I realized the dog's dead. The boy, crying, just says, "My back hurts a lot." And stunned, I just tell the boy to get away from the rotting corpse. And he replies, "I can't. I used to rest my head on this dog's back as I slept, because his back is much softer than the blanket roll bricks I use. And now he's asleep, so I can't move until he wakes up." At which point, I walk away in tears to the bus, to the wealthy kids that close the curtains in disgust at what lay outside, the real world, I call it. I watched in neutral silence, with even more time, I closed the windows in disgust, helpless. This is the first story that's been added onto our website, and we actually all know the person that went through this experience. He's actually in our GAT group as well. And this shows that you never know what's, like, who was going through what, and that we all have a story to share.
is how we write our history, remember our past, and most importantly, share our memories. Through stories, we connect and heal. This is the goal of the Story Project, a website dedicated to the recognition of humanity through the sharing of personal experiences. With this format, our goal is to shed light upon the violation of human rights, its victims, and their recovery. We then lead our viewers to organizations that can help fight against the human rights violations that plague our world today. Through this, we are united in our humanity by both our pain and our hope.
So this is our website, and you can all go to it right now if you want. There's a mobile version. It's called www.thestoryproject.org. And on our homepage, we just have briefly really why we made the website and our inspirations. Most of them actually came from this conference. And if you go over here, you can see that we have our mission, which Taylor just covered. And it's very short, and it's in the form of a blog, so if anyone feels like commenting, go ahead. And then we also have your human rights, and we have the Declaration of Human Rights provided by the United Nations website. But most importantly, we have the option to share your own story. And here you can fill out this form, and your name is optional if you wish to stay anonymous, but we do ask for age, country, and your gender. But right here is where it starts. This is where you can write your story, sharing where you feel that your human rights are violated. If sharing your story isn't what you feel comfortable doing, you can read other stories. Here we have the story that we just shared. You can also help out. If you ever feel inspired by reading these stories, you can click on these links here. Clicking on the picture will bring you to organizations that we have contacted and feel are strong in providing human rights protection. And if you're really bored, you can help us out by filling out a short survey that gives us details about the kind of viewers that we have on our website. This will ensure that we improve our website for the future. And lastly, you can contact us by going to our Facebook, our Twitter, emailing us, and we're also on Instagram.
Thank you. At the beginning of our collaboration on the project, our GAT leader advised us to find a common theme that ran through all the plenaries. Thus, everyone's gears started turning. We recognized what about this week stood out to us as individuals. we wanted to share with the world, and what we wanted to take away from this experience. Slowly, everyone started to share their ideas with the group. Each idea was evolved, adapted, and debated. We all combed through the pros and cons, political and social influence, and resources such as money, time, supporters, and credibility needed for each idea to be the most effective. Most importantly, however, we wanted a project that would be received internationally. Each of us came from a different background, and we wanted our project to reflect that. The initial idea for the story project was born of this desire. Of course, there were obstacles to overcome. However, through open-mindedness and collaboration, we came to a final project we could be proud of. Afterward, we split off into subcommittees to tackle issues such as missions and obligations for the project and evaluation, how to be evaluated, and many other parts of the project that would be needed to be put together for it to be most effective. The committees perfected their parts and worked with their related groups in order to make sure that we could put our project up for all of you guys to see. Finally, the project was launched, and we believe it will make more people aware of human rights atrocities and spur them into action, to not only see victims, but to see people and the common humanity that connects us all.
All right, so as Alexa just mentioned, our GAT leader, Bila, who's right over there, at the beginning of every GAT session, she asked us three questions. The third question was, how could we connect all the plenaries that we had seen to date? So the answer that we got from this question was from where we wanted to build our project. However, because we are such a diverse group and our opinions sometimes can be just complete opposites, we didn't want to choose a topic that limited us in any way. The point at which our group really got excited and we started planning stuff out was after seeing Michelle Chikwanine present. So our leader again asked us why it was we thought that we were so excited after seeing him present. And it was because when he was presenting, he had not only focused on the human rights violations to which he had been a victim and a witness, but he also included personal aspects of his own life. And those were things that we could connect to. Because it was personal and because facts like about your family, about sports, about hobbies you like doing, they're relatable and they transcend all cultures. And so that we thought that that would be a perfect fit for our group. So we wanted an idea that was personal and that wouldn't limit us. So when the idea for the story project was initially proposed, we thought that this would be a perfect fit for us.
Our main goal is to have stories shared and incite people to take action. To achieve this, we have set a goal of 1,000 visitors on our page in the first year. Also, because sharing stories is our main goal, we want to have at least 200 stories on our website by the 1st of January. In order to evaluate the success of our website, Chu Yang, our group member, has created functions which quantifies the success of our website based on comments, stories, and views. We also have set up a questionnaire, as Lauren has shown, to see who our visitors are.
All right. So, everybody, this is where we need your help. As people of different nations, from different countries, people of the IBA World Conference, we would like you, if you have your stories, to please submit and help us let other people be aware of the situations going on in other countries or in their own countries. It would be absolutely fantastic. We're looking for you to connect to those that would be your reader in a way, as you saw in the very beginning, how we started this. How that author started it with I Am Batman, which I think was quite amazing. But also, we want our readers to see people as not only victims, but as a person. If you are to, which we would love, add your story, we would like you to add in your location, your gender, and age, and etc. We are looking to
Fine, what human rights have been violated, just to reiterate. Also, we would love it if you would like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Yes. And our pages are on Facebook is the original, the official story project, and on Twitter it's at the official story project. Wait, what is it? The sport. Oh, yes. Yeah, the Story Project Official. Oh, yes, that. And to end off, we would like to thank our amazing GAT leader from Bila's Babies to Katie Bila. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We are almost done, folks. So there's one more. This is GAT group number 10 with Christina Pira Angeli. GAT group number 10. GAT group number 10, where are you? This is Matt. You're helping them doing that?
Yeah, like I have been the whole time.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Here you go.
Thank you.
I'll have to give some back, actually.
So,
I'll take it personally. Don't hurt me.
Are you sorry?
I'm not going to start. Well,
if you want. Do you want to start with the dollar bill?
Sorry?
Do you want to start with the dollar bill?
Let's end on that.
Right.
Yeah, so we're going to, we need to get onto the background. We need to do a couple things.
Afterward, if you guys plug in, you should be good right there. It should pop right up.
Down there.
Okay. Sounds great. All right, how you guys doing? Perfect. Oh, I know it. I feel the energy in the room. This is great. Hey, so before we start, I really just wanted to do something new. So everyone, if we can just start padding right here, let's get a drum roll, please, all right? Sick. All right, it's good. Perfect. That wakes us up a bit, all right? So we're children's rights around the globe, and what we're going to do is we're just going to tell us a little bit about our background, and then we're going to end this thing with a bang. So here we go. Take it away.
All right. So you guys can hear me, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, so one of the biggest, most influential things from this week has been the Michelle Chikwananay story about child soldiers. And also our group realized how much people asked how can we get involved to each of the presentations. And so we wanted to combine those together. And and this way we can... And this way, through our organization, Children's Rights Across the Globe, we provide a place where other stories like the ones we've heard can be expressed, and also a place where we can show people how to get involved in their own communities and various organizations that operate at local level or global level. And so, yeah, that's basically the background. You guys can read that if you like, unless you're a little too tired right now.
I'll just take you through a short little PowerPoint, and we'll do that with Domingo. Domingo, you're the man.
All right. So, Children's Rights Across the Globe. This is our mission is basically to provide a powerful and accessible forum for people who suffered to share their experience to a wider audience across the globe. So their voice can be heard, and we can raise awareness of the issues. And our objective is to, to raise awareness, and we'll achieve our goals through social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so we can share the stories that people send in. And these are some of the partners that we've contacted, so you can read if you want to. And we have WordPress blog. Yeah, so that's where people will send in their stories, and everyone around the globe can read their stories and comment. And this is our Facebook link, and we have Twitter and Instagram.
So, if you guys would like to follow us real quickly, we'd definitely enjoy that, and that'd be awesome. But we're going to conclude our speech real quick. We're switching it up a little bit. So can I get you, Domingo, real quick? So, he's going to hold this. All right, so... By a show of hands, Who would like this $20 bill right now? Yeah, all right. So, I'm going to give this $20 bill to someone, but first, you know, let me do this. So look at this. You crumpled it up, right? So who would still want it right now? Cool. All right. So what if he does this? Who still wants it? All right, so you can pick it up real quick. So my friends, you've learned a very important and valuable lesson. I want this $20 bill to represent the right of a child. You see, whatever I did with the money, whatever things have been done to a child, you still want it both, because it did not decrease in value. So, many times in these children's lives, they are dropped, crumpled, and ground into the dirt, just like the $20 bill, by the decisions certain regimes make and by the circumstances of poverty and abuse that come their way. They may feel that they are worthless, but no matter what happened or will happen, children's rights will never lose their value. So, to conclude our speech, I want to leave you with a law that has especially touched me and proven exceptionally true during this conference. I call it the amazing law of influence. It states, one life touches another, and potentially both lives are changed. One life touches another, and potentially the entire world is changed. Thank you.
So we're actually not giving this out, sorry. I'm so glad that we are done. So as a nice way to finish this up, I would like to encourage everyone to come to the station. We'll take a group picture with Jacob's GoPro. Where's Jacob? Oh, sorry, didn't see.
Everybody, come over here.
Woo, come over here. Oh, shit.
Everybody, get out.
I thought of everything except for that.
Yeah, that's a big
point. Yeah, you're like, no one's gonna get it though.
Yeah, just like those child's rights, right?
So if I start beatboxing over here.
And so now you can talk into the microphone?
Oh, I'll start rapping.
All right, may I have your attention, please? Just before. Just before we leave for the afternoon, may I remind you that there is another GATT session that begins at 5:15 and that runs until 6:15 in your classrooms, the ones that you've been meeting in all week. From 6:30 to 7 is packing time, and then at 7 o'clock is the farewell dinner, the farewell dance, the farewell tears, the farewell hugs, the farewell, farewell. I would just like to say, it's okay, nobody ever listens to me. I would just like to say, on behalf of myself, that I found every single presentation truly inspiring. I don't know how you did it, but in the course of 4 short days, going from absolutely nothing, meeting people for the first time that you've never met before, hearing presentations on subjects and topics that you perhaps knew nothing at all about, working with talented and dynamic and wonderful teachers, you've produced something truly inspiring. And I have to say, that crumpled $20 bill image, I don't think I will ever forget. That is absolutely phenomenal. In fact, I could probably say that there is something in everything that I saw that was absolutely phenomenal. The poem was phenomenal. The drama of people turning around and talking about orphans was phenomenal, about children's rights. So I want to congratulate all of you on a job extraordinarily well done. I hope that when you go back to your schools, you will sustain the energy and the inspiration that you had here to inspire your students and your friends back at home. And I want to thank you for showing this tired old man that there is a future and you are it. Thank you.